Always fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, Patrick, where do you want to start? My God, we've got enough topics.
Right here with the Diamondbacks. You think now we're talking about a possible garage sale for the Twins. I think the Diamondbacks might actually sell you the franchise if you want to write out a check, right?
Yeah, probably.
They were, by the way, trying to start a campaign to get a new stadium. I got to think, they were never going to get it past the dealers, but they're complaining because of the suites and the stuff, and that it's not a modern stadium. I think they better settle in for about another 15 years after this, right?
How old is that ballpark?
Well, they started in 98,
right?
They were in the World Series in their fourth year, so they started in 98, yeah. 2001. So,
oh my God,
they started in 98. Yeah, they're talking. I got a hunch. Well, it's not as bad as the hockey team, which started talking about getting a new arena 2 weeks after they moved into Glendale because they didn't like the location, right?
Yes. Well, yeah, that was their own stupidity for allowing anyone to build in Glendale.
Yes,
hey, the Cardinals play there eight times a year. That's great for us, too.
That'll work for us, yes. They were. And then the other, I think the Suns, who have spent over of a couple of hundred million, kind of like Target Center, they're complaining too. They'd rather, and this will, if they make this run to the finals, which
why don't
like
they and
gonna,
the Coyotes get together and build their
hockey/basketball. I can't believe that rental cars can build more because basically it's tourist money. That
you forget
uses
the bill there,
huh?
The rental car bill in Arizona is one of the most astounding things I've ever been handed.
Well, yes, because it says $29 a day plus tax, and then it's like 70.
Yes.
Because and Florida's gotten that way too. That the surcharge that the state taxes are way higher than the bill. Now, of course, you can't rent a car anywhere right now. So it's outrageous. For some reason, they're in tremendous demand to rent a car.
Everyone's traveling again.
Somebody told me that airport here is the cheapest they could find was $557 a week or something, which is...
You're kidding me.
No. So here, and that, I don't know what kind of that is. But anyway, this is amazing. May 16th, I think, is when it started, and they were right around 500. And you can take your pick of how many they've lost. They've lost 31 out of 33 and 34 out of 37, according to my math today. I looked it up. And I said, they need a guy like Breslin to write a book about this team, don't you? I mean, like the Breslin's famous book about the Mets. The gang that couldn't not shoot straight. It wasn't shoot straight. The gang that couldn't do something. But the greatest sports book ever. But Torrey Lovello isn't Casey Stengel. The laughs aren't they don't have Casey to say.
Yeah, this is not funny.
No.
That was funny. The Mets were new and it was funny.
And the National League absolutely hosed them on players. They gave them no players when they paid their expansion fee,
They gave Marv.
Rod Keneal, Hot Rod Keneal, Marv Thornberry. The guy who hit a triple and missed both first and second, that's the best. My favorite Casey quote, though, was about Ron Swoboda, the right fielder. He was playing right field. He was in the big leagues at age 18, 19, him like Crane Pool. They had them both. And he said, what do you think of Swoboda as an outfielder? He says, he leaps for him and they ain't there. Yeah, I mean, you had Casey, providing great humor every day using all this stuff, and that's not it. I mean, Arizona is not a hotbed of summer baseball interest. It's a hotbed of spring training. That's what it is. And they don't, if they're good, they'll go and watch them, but not, there's no Diamondbacks fever, and now you do this to them, and they didn't. I don't think they had any idea they're going to be terrible, did they?
No. No, not like this. No.
No. I mean, there was no, like, they're one of the tanking teams. Texas yeah. is tanking. And
well, Baltimore's been tanking for five yeah. years, whatever well, it
Seattle
is.
Seattle was supposed to be tanking, and they're 500 or something, or a little over. But, you know, this is incredible. 34 out of 37. They just put a thing up here on MLB Network that there's only three teams in history with 40 or more losses in a 45-game stretch.
Yeah.
And they're one of them? Wow.
Yeah.
And it's funny how little it tells you something about baseball in the public consciousness now, because this in even in the 70s would have been like daily news, you know, Diamondback headlines
when
on
Baltimore,
the front page.
88.
Yeah, yeah,
it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. And this is like you have to go look for it to find out that when they set the record for most road losses, it got a headline. 23 in a row, which, by the way, is still active because they're home now. They just got swept at home this weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's, but, I mean, it's, you know, think how bad our boys are. And they're, you know, until this four-game winning streak, and they were still winning two a week, you know.
Yes.
These guys haven't won two a month.
Yeah, it is remarkable.
It is incredible. It is.
Speaking of Texas. Those Rangers aren't very good, are they?
No, you got to stay out of Joey Gallo's wheelhouse.
Yep.
And this Garcia, who's leading he's going to probably be the rookie of the year if he keeps going like this. But beyond that, oofta. You know, I don't. They must have thought, okay, we're moving into a new stadium. We'll draw people, you know, air conditioning, even if we stink. But, you know, I have no idea what their farm system looks like or anything like that. But, wow, that's another place. If you're bad, there's no hardcore baseball interest. You know, it's a great baseball state for producing players, but they don't, you know, live and die with the Rangers down there. They live and die with one thing down right. there, the Cowboys. And the, you know, the Stars found that out when, you know, they were the hot ticket when they were winning Stanley Cups, and then nobody went to their games, and then they made a run last year, and there was a pandemic, so nobody knows. But you know, that's another, you know, this is remindful in a larger way of the Twins when they went to the Metrodome in 82. You know, new stadium. Yeah. And then in April, Calvin traded Smalley, Weiniger,
yep.
Corbett, and did he trade somebody else? He basically traded the guys that somebody had heard of, and they drew, I think, 950?
In 82?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They didn't hit a million their first year in the glorious dome. So that's...
No air conditioning didn't help either.
Yeah, well, that was the Suetro Dome. I used that several thousand times. And remember, we thought it was going to be the easiest home run park in history.
Yes.
When they didn't have air conditioning.
Yes.
Because it'd get 93 degrees in there and the ball would be flying out. The hottest I've ever been in a stadium, and, you know, there's been a lot of them, various out Baltimore, I suppose a couple of times in Baltimore was worse, but was that the Vikings' first game in there, that August, whatever the hell it was, August 18th, you know, and this is the first time they put a full house in the summer because the Twins were drawing 8,000 a game, you
right.
know. It was ungodly in there because heat rises. You got people up in the deck. And by halftime, there were 35,000 people standing outside and 20,000 inside waving programs and stuff at themselves, damn near dying. It was my wife, for some reason, she went to that game. I think we got her to go to that. I said, hey, the first game, she lasted 20 minutes. She was
I'm shocked
there.
She went in the first
I
place.
I don't know who we got her, who she went with. I don't know how that worked. But
they were so proud of building that place on the cheap and doing everything they can on the cheap.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
They were just so damn proud of that.
Uh-huh. Oh, you know what? Oh, she wasn't by the way. I just started dating her. I was going to do a favor for her, and luckily it survived that relay. That
I was going to say.
That was almost... Yeah. Yeah, I real romance the hell out of her. The first thing I did was take her to a Woody Allen triple feature at Uptown. Lasted for two of them. About a month later, she told me she hated Woody Allen. And then I let her. And then I made her go to a football game, which damn near killed her. So
you're
that was
bigger
not,
romantic as I am.
Was not off to a good start there, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, yeah, they're terrible. Beyond that... it's amazing when your bullpen comes in and gets somebody out, huh?
That you yeah, can, how about that?
Yeah, it was. Alcala is getting a little better. Mm-hmm. He's throwing more strikes. He's still giving up, what, seven home runs or something like that. But he's getting a little better. And Hansel, I think, had two 1-2-3 innings, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Might
yes.
have been his first of the year.
Yes.
And
he didn't walk the yard.
Rogers is fabulous. He's very good. And, you know, and beyond that, Duffy's got his act together again, too. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you got four of them that you can use, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that helps. And Theobar isn't bad either. So all of a sudden this bullpen that they thought was going to be acceptable is acceptable, but we'll see how long that lasts.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see.
You never know if Hansel's going to come in there. And, you know, Hansel and Alcala are unpredictable because of their control issues. Duffy looks like he's throwing it good again. So,
what can you get for Hansel eventually? Low-level prospect?
No, I think,
you think better than
I don't
that?
Know. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't. Who wants to get rid of guys if you're not going to get anything? You might as well just play it out. If you're not going to get something of value, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be somebody with a chance. It can't be Sean Anderson.
Hey, that's worked out really well.
Yeah, it is.
Lamont Wade's doing fantastic for the Giants.
No, but I mean, it can't be those type of guys. It can't be some of these clowns they got in St. Paul. I was over there the other night. They don't have any prospects. There's nobody there. Unless you're on the Rooker bandwagon.
Yes.
Who might someday get 100 games in the big leagues in a three-year period as a right-handed hitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it still gets lefties. But there's no prospects here. And pitching-wise, I see that Duran is throwing so few strikes they had to throw and put him on the DL for what they said.
But they put forearm tightness, right?
Forearm tightness.
Which is the precursor a lot of times to Tommy John.
Yeah, well, it's and even when he was throwing good, he was, even when he was not hurt, he was walking in the ballpark. I was over there, what night was it? Friday night.
Friday night.
The old-timers are not particularly dazzled by the product.
That column worked out really well for your idea.
Yes, it did.
I think you got what you wanted from them.
Well, yeah, I didn't, and I didn't, I just only talked to like four or five people and they all said the same thing. I said, you know, they're different players, but the dedication to winning is totally absent, right? And the one guy was saying, you know, I had a guy four runs in. The first four batters had already scored Whalen, and nobody was warming up. He says, what the hell? You know, he says the last two times he's pitched, he has virtually gotten nobody out, and they don't, Whalen, wherever they found him. And, you know, and the other thing is, Saints fans knew the players on the independent team.
Yep.
Better than they do this revolving door of who the hell are these guys, you know, because they change.
Mm-hmm.
Three guys change every 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, it's not although they did have a full house there Friday. I think they drew pretty well over the weekend. You know, they had like 7,000, 8,000. They were in the 8,000, so. But it's because the people want to go and drink beer. And
yeah. And the beer's still cheaper than Target Field, is that
well,
right?
Well, not really. Not, I mean, I saw these guys had them, like the big tally, and they were $9 or something.
Yeah, you can get a...
$9, $10. Declan was there Friday night.
I stopped in the press box. Yes. I had a beer in hand.
Very professional.
Yeah. What'd that one cost?
That was a Kona. I was like $10 for a 24 ounce.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not bad.
No,
pretty damn good.
It's a little, it's a little cheaper than Target Field, then, but not much.
Yeah.
Right.
Twins, it's what, 11, 11.50?
Yeah, probably 12 or 13.
Now, somebody told me, though, at one of the beer drinkers I talked to said, they're about the same prices as they were with the Saints.
Yeah.
Actually, it was an usher that worked there forever who explained to me, though, they lost a bunch of ticket holders because when they sent out the bills, it was for 70 games, not 50.
Oh, yeah,
sticker. Now, they didn't end up playing 70 because the season was shortened by a month. But the sticker shock was, hey, look how much they're charging. Well, they were still charging $15.
Right.
But they were charging it an extra 20 times, so that's an extra $300.
And that's a lot of baseball, too. If you're playing,
well, the
if
other
you're
thing
playing
is
that
Saints fans don't want to go to games in April.
Right. Yeah,
and they don't want to go to games, and
short season was fine for them.
They want to go to They want to start going Memorial Day and stop Labor Day, right?
The Saints were never put on this earth for purposes of baseball.
No, but this stadium was not put on.
I agree.
This stadium was not put on earth
for independent
for the Northern.
I agree with you.
This is.
I said the same thing.
This is a first class.
Yes.
It
needs a tenant like they have now, but I'm just saying that runs counter to the fan base,
which used
to be in the parking lot at the old place for the entire game. And I know, cause I did that a few times.
Yeah. And you could say that the Midway was, perfect for them because we love, as I've said many times, we love drinking on asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesotans, we love drinking on asphalt.
We share that with Wisconsin people. Exactly right.
Now, sometimes we'll have to, if there's overflow, we'll do it on grass, but we like drinking on asphalt at Met Stadium and other places. So,
who do you think the first person was to pull up, like at the Met, and say, you know what we should do? Get drunk.
Because the Vikings... the Twins weren't a big tailgating place. You'd drink, you'd open up your trunk and maybe have a six-pack in the back and then go in. The Vikings basically introduced it in a lot of ways. The Vikings introduced it at the Met Stadium, I think more so than Green Bay. I think more so than
I wonder who, though, but I wonder how it, like,
I don't
like
know.
Like, how do you start
but,
that?
But I remember stories by the mid-60s, late 60s, about people who were having banquets out there and the big tables and the whole thing. It was a big deal to at Viking games, and then of course you hoped one of the drunk youth didn't come stumbling by and fall on your table or something. my greatest memory of drunk fans was I'm leaving a game one day like an hour and well 2 hours after the game, and a driving rain, walking to my car, which was over towards not the Thunderbird, the hotel on the other side, but I didn't get in the lot was down a ways. And this kid, probably 23 or 24, was up against the outside fence, drunk, backed up, like semi-passed out, and this poor semi-drunk girl was trying to, and she was like weeping, and she said, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" And this soaking wet drunk was sitting up against the fence, and I said, "I'll find a cop for you, ma'am. I'm not putting this drunk lug in my car."
Yes, I don't
to
blame
to take him somewhere. He might die between here and South.
Or throw up.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Probably a given.
I said, I drove over. They were some guys, cops still over there. I said, young lady over there has a situation. And he said, another one, huh? So, alcohol and football, man.
Oh,
it's a
dangerous marriage.
It is.
It's a marriage, it but is. It's a danger. It's volatile.
I suggested several times at the paper, and now I don't bring it up anymore because nobody wanted that. We do a big like Pulitzer Prize candidate series on football and alcohol, and you'd have to fly around to famous drinking play, you know, the world's out cocktail party down in Florida and
yep.
Georgia. And you basically report it one year and write it the next August or something beforehand, but we never got the – that was the resources it would take was not –
They used to be there.
Yeah, they would have. But
the old days.
But it is an amazing – oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw the statistics when I was covering the Packers. The Journal Sentinel might have done a story about this, and they pulled the domestic violence statistics nights the Packers lost, Sundays the Packers lost.
Yes,
and it was incredible.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, that's I actually was talking about this today though. Nothing compared. Well, Buffalo, I walked through the lot, but I never really mingled with Buffalo fans.
Mm-hmm.
But still the most frightening parking lot experience of my life was at the vet for a 9-10 kickoff against the Cowboys on a Monday night. They were unbelievable. I was walking across the 6:30 yep. or 7. Yep. They were already gone.
Yep.
They took note of the fact that I might have been overweight in very graphic terms.
Yes.
And also questioned my sexual preference rather vigorously. So it was...
And if you had walked through there at 8, they would have beat the crap out of you, too.
And I was an out-of-town... There was no evidence of cowboydom in my life.
Philadelphia is a scary place.
Oh, it is.
For football.
Can you imagine how the 76ers are being treated and Ben Simmons there today?
How about his teammates and Doc throwing him under the bus? It was incredible.
Well, he wouldn't shoot because he was afraid.
I know.
He as soon as he touched the ball, he passed it because he didn't want to get fouled. So he had to go. He went 24 out of 71 at the line in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they blew that 20-point lead is he went 4 for 18, I think.
Yeah.
4 for 19, something like that. They just played Hackabin and he got humiliated.
Well, and that Hackabin, and I don't get that. So you get penalized within the last 2 minutes of a game for that, where mm-hmm. the team gets the ball back. But why do they allow you to hack a guy like in the first quarter without any penalty for it other than he just goes to the line?
Yes.
Some Hawks guy in the backcourt in a couple of games ago fouled him and they didn't see it because it was so far behind the play and he started jumping up and down and pushed him.
Yeah, when they finally caught him. When they finally caught him, though, early in the fourth quarter, they were following him every, you know, the second half, they were following him every trip to the point. Bob Ford was a longtime columnist there, and he left the Inquirer, but he's right.
I follow him on Twitter. He's great.
He said, the good news is in about 3 weeks, we'll get to see video of Ben making three-pointers during the off-season workouts.
I saw that one.
They got to get him out of there, though, for his own mental health. But they also, you know, he has no value, really. He's a great athlete, but he has no value because he can't shoot.
No? You know? Well, and he can't shoot at the most important times.
No.
Like, he'll fix a shot in July.
Yeah.
But who gives a crap at this point?
Yes.
If you can't fix it in the playoffs... He's got the Knobloch Steve Sachs thing. He's got some type of block that goes into place when it counts.
Well, free throws, 24 out of 71. Wilt shot him left-handed one year. He hated him so much that he made half.
Go to the Rick Barry under
it. Yes. These guys are too humiliated to do it.
Who did it a couple of years ago? Somebody did it either in the pros or college. Somebody went to it.
Rick Barry never missed.
Yeah. That takes away all the... pressure of
whenever my friends and I were shooting baskets on my backyard court, the old man would come out and have a free throw contest with us, and he shot them underhand.
Yeah.
And he made more because he played when they shot him underhand, you know. And
make it stylish again, bring it back.
Yeah,
Rick Barry's a damn good player.
Yes. Oh, Christ. one of the all-timers, yeah. Hall of Famer. So
cantankerous, but a good player.
That's he wasn't even. I don't even think he was that cantankerous until you know he was a famous. He was his coach when he first went to the Oakland Oaks. That was his first pro team in the ABA.
Mm-hmm.
Was his father-in-law Bruce Hale was a guy from the University of Miami. I think he was the coach at the University of Miami, and Barry met his daughter, good-looking daughter down there, and married her. And they were married a long time. I don't know if it lasted forever, but they were married a long time. But he had what, two kids play in the NBA, or three, at least two.
Yeah,
John
at least two.
And
Brent, right?
Brent, yeah, at least two. So, but yeah, it's NBA playoffs have been good though.
Yeah,
compared to normal because of the unpredictability.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
that's what they didn't have for how long? Ages.
Maybe. Well, certainly since our boys have been in the league the last 30 years. So.
And this actually gives you hope that there is a path, at least if you do things right, and it's the Timberwolves, so they probably won't. But if you know, that there's a path to success now.
Rand Ball couldn't resist. He wrote a little something I saw about, should the Timberwolves trade for Ben Simmons? Yeah.
We talked about it to start the...
I said, you could put him with Culver, and then he wouldn't feel so bad that he can't make a shot. They could have the bricklayers tandem.
I can't. I told Phil, I can't bring on another guy who's that broken.
Especially.
Oh, and it's upstairs.
Especially on a team that wants to shoot 35 threes, right?
Yes.
Although
and Phil said, well, you can pass, or you can make guys look good. I said, still, he'd be no threat.
No, you don't have to guard him. You know, you don't have to guard him. No.
That guy exists already. He's Ricky Rubio.
They're going to have a hard time getting rid of it.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake invites you to play their award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic experience that both beginner and expert golfers will enjoy. The Meadows at Mystic Lake features over 7,000 yards of pristine bent grass fairways, trees and greens, surrounded by acres of wildflowers and prairie plants. This oasis, just minutes away from downtown Minneapolis, provides a magical escape to nature. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's GolfTheMeadows.com, owned and operated by the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community.
Yeah, because they're going to want a lot for him. That's the thing about it.
I don't think so.
Really?
No.
See,
no.
I don't know.
Not after this. They got to get him out of Philadelphia for his, before he ends up in a straitjacket at a mental institution.
He could not be in a worse place.
Oh, no. I mean, somebody said it, that this might be the first time in history that a team has gotten booed off the court after a close seventh game. Mm-hmm. Usually the hometown fans give you credit for they made it to game seven and it was a great game and whatever. They killed them. They booed them. But one of my greatest nights in a basketball arena, 1977, off day in Baltimore. I'm covering the Twins. Shuler wants to go back to Philly to see the Shuler's got himself lined up in a suite, but he's too cheap to rent a car. And I got to rent a car in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So he says, I got two tickets to the Philly game. You want to go see the 76ers and the Blazers in game three, I think. No, game two.
Wow.
Because that was the night that Daryl Dawkins took the swing at somebody and missed him and hit Doug Collins. he was trying to hit somebody from, but the 76ers beat him that night to take a 2-0 lead, and then the Blazers won the next four with Walton.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the roster of that team, of the Philadelphia team. I mean, there's 8-9 of them that were outstanding. Julius, Lloyd Free, World B. They loved him, the Rainbow Man. He had three different nicknames, and they were running around the arena with these placards, the Rainbow Man. World B, he was, before he changed his name to World, he was World Free.
Yep.
And All World Free. And then, what was it? The Rainbow Man, World B.
I didn't know he was called Rainbow Man.
Rainbow Man was what they called him there. Then
that's a great nickname.
And there was, I can't remember, but it was, they loved him, man. And they were running around the side of the court before the game holding up these placards. The place was hopping, and they knew they were going to win it. And then they got out to Portland and got their ass kicked, because Walton was unstoppable. But Dalton was a Dawkins was a kid. He was like 20,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that was that place was hopping, man. That was.
And you used to go to the Mecca occasionally too, didn't you?
Where?
The Mecca.
Oh yeah, I'd go over and see.
Didn't you tell me you'd drive
over
there
and see Mikhail every year? Yeah, back when he was charming.
Yeah, that's no longer the case.
That's no longer the case. But yes, and that I also heard Steve Carlton's voice that night. Because Shuler and I met him at a bar after the game, McCarver and Carlton.
Really?
And, you know, and then there were six, seven Phillies.
Yep.
And Shuler, and then I was just sitting there drinking, keeping my mouth shut. And then drove back to Baltimore. 3 a.m.
Oh, I'm...
3 a.m.
Yep.
Yep. Window open.
Yep.
Just in case.
Head probably out. Hey, I got to get a little breeze here.
Made it. Boy, I was close to the legal limit that night. But anyway, it was Shuler and I were big buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pitched in Toronto, and the Twins got beat. I'll have to look it up. 11-2 or something. But he came in, he pitched 3 scoreless innings.
Yep.
7th, 8th, and 9th of a, well, 6th, 7th, and 8th or something, because, you know, they got their ass kicked in Toronto. As they always did, and he called me over the locker the next day and said, "My wife looked in the paper this morning. You didn't mention my 3 scoreless innings. We're never talking again." And we didn't.
You're kidding?
No, 3 wash up innings. You know,
you're kidding me?
3 garbage time innings.
So you didn't rip him? You just didn't mention him?
No, I didn't mention him. But his wife was home reading. Because he'd been having struggling a little bit. He was looking for these testimonials to him. I thought we were friends. He became the general manager of the White Sox. I said hello to him a couple of times, but I never talked to him. But he did.
Really?
Know? Yes.
Wow, that's some thin skin.
That was one of my most shocking, you know, generally speaking.
Yeah, you deserved it.
Yes, I did.
Ron Jackson tried to kill you, yeah, but you deserved it.
He deserved it. Papa up. I never, you know.
I mean, and it was worth the trade-off, by the way.
Blylevin, when he, you know, when he called me.
But you were friends with those guys. I mean, you didn't go to stuff with. That is shocking.
Yes,
that
yes.
A pro athlete. Like, I could see
yeah,
if you
why didn't
tweaked
he say,
him.
Why didn't you give me a little,
next time I'd appreciate
little,
it.
Why didn't you give me a little ink about that 3 scoreless innings? I said, by God, then I'd say, by God, I missed that. I'll get it next
time.
Yeah,
you couldn't.
Maybe I'll throw a little note in tomorrow's paper, you know. But, yeah, it was the goofiest thing of all time.
Oh, you've never told me that before. No. That is really thin-skinned.
I suppose we couldn't get you to watch any golf yesterday.
Oh, no, I watched it. The meltdown.
The meltdown of Bluto.
I watched the last 3 hours.
Did you see Bluto's quote?
No, I don't think I saw it.
Bluto said that he never came off the rails. That he said he's hit the ball the same in one tournaments. And so when you're walking back and forth, making an 8, you didn't come off the rails, huh? What a now I know why Koepka hates him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a first-class jackass.
Yeah, he is. He's
but he's good at being a jackass.
Yes,
but
he is.
But come on.
Yeah.
He melted down like any...
Well, he shot the highest back 9 of anybody who played yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He had the 45, yeah. I think, he shot in the back. He was leading the tournament on the 10th tee.
He took a snowman on what?
Yes.
17,
yeah. And maybe he was already 4. He was leading the tournament.
Declan
then he
could
went,
do that. I could do that if I...
He was leading the tournament, went bogey, bogey, double bogey, but he didn't melt down.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, it was brutal. I can't stand him just because he's like this.
I saw your tweet.
I watch him do this, and yeah. I go, I can't get off the couch. I can't get out of my chair. I get clenched up watching him. You know?
Yeah, no, he's, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
but
about.
But you know what? I think they did this. I didn't see anybody write it, but I watched last year's Open when he basically hit the ball so far and he didn't, you know, the rough is what's supposed to make the U.S. Open different. Most places, Pinehurst, it's not because they make the greens impossible. But he took the rough out of play. At Wingfoot, because he hit it so far that he could, you know, hit a pitching iron, you know, hit a little pitching wedge out of the east. So even if it's sitting down on that crap, he can hit it 80 yards, you know, and so he made the rough irrelevant. So I said, I'm watching. I said, next year, from 310 yards,
they're going to get them
to 350 yards. That stuff's going to be so thick that you couldn't get it out with a lawnmower. And they were going to. I think that if you hit it like a normal human being and you hit it in the rough, you had a chance. But if you, I think they made it as thick and as they could to keep him from hitting it 350 and then 360 and then.
It was great fun to watch.
Oh, it was. It was.
I mean, the whole thing on the back nine was.
It was a meltdown of all time by everybody.
That's one sport where failure is really fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. I said that.
It's tough to watch a baseball player. Right? It gets tough after a while.
Yes, it does.
It's difficult to watch.
Yeah, it's the only sport, I said, that a big share of the crowd roots for the arena. And not the athletes.
You know,
where else do we go to the game and say, boy, I hope Fenway has a good day against these guys. You know, as much as we like Fenway and Wrigley, we're not rooting for the players to embarrass themselves.
We're
going to
grow the right field grass higher so Max Kepler trips.
Yeah, right. They don't. We root for the course as much as we root for the. As the game progresses and they hit it that far, we like to still see them challenged is the thing. And then when the challenge turns into train wreck after train wreck, a lot of people enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I got to admit, I'm enough of a sadist to enjoy it sometimes, too. But it did get excruciating that nobody made a charge. Nobody could make a charge. I mean, Rahm shot. You know, played a hell of a round and made those two putts. But he's the only guy that played well. He's the only guy that didn't get taken down to his knees.
Yeah.
I felt sorry for Louis Oosthuizen, though, because he so much wanted to figure out a way to try to get on that green, but there was all he would have been doing was giving away money because he would have hit it in the water or something and went from second to fourth or something.
Mm-hmm.
How about DeChambeau, though? He went from... If he ties, he went from like 1.2 if he finishes third or something to 99,000.
Is that what he got?
Yeah, right, 99,000, something like that. But it was compelling. It's funny they play Torrey Pines in the early in the year, February, I think, and they play both courses, and the one course is easier than the other one. They play both courses for 2 days, I think, maybe three. They're 2 days, and then they all play the south course, I guess. But by the time June comes, they got that thing. If they aren't getting any rain, and they usually don't, they got that thing three times as hard as it is in February, you know, because they can get those greens. Something about those greens, man, they can't putt them.
Yep.
Lightning fast.
Was that 17 or 18 where it was incredibly difficult and everybody kept misjudging
18, it? 17. 18's easy. 18, okay. 18, if you get it over the water, it's, okay. You know, if you hit it in the fairway.
But the putting on 17, there were a lot of guys who consecutively just misjudged it.
You didn't see it Saturday, did you?
I saw only a little bit on Saturday.
Did you see the Pacific Rattler?
No.
I did not know they had rattlesnakes.
They do?
This one was one of the ravines. Rory hit it in the ravine.
Poor Rory.
And they showed his ball down there. And within 10 feet of it was this big honking rattler. They call it I never heard of it. It's a Pacific rattler.
I had no idea they had snakes.
I didn't know they hang out by the water like that. But no, I didn't know that. Well, you're close to the desert, I guess, but they showed that guy down there, and they would have, I think they would have given him a free drop. They said the snake might bite you. So
yeah,
it was.
How about the ball that went in the tree that bounced?
Bounced up into the tree.
Yeah. The damnedest thing.
Yeah, right.
Stayed in the tree.
Yes. Well, I said there's no way as hard as he hit that ball that it stayed in the tree. But then they finally showed us
it bounced
up and stayed in the tree. Yeah, it was a entertaining day. There's no doubt about that. So, anywho.
Do you know what I miss?
What?
Johnny Miller.
Oh, I do.
Johnny
too.
Absolutely melting down on players.
Oh, some. Who was it, though? One guy said.
Bazinger?
It wasn't Zinger. It was one of the other guys said, these guys are all folding like cheap suits.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's an old cliche.
Johnny
would have vilified them. Yes. Johnny would have said, well, they're handing this to, you know, that he would have told them how
Johnny was great because he didn't give a damn.
No, he didn't. He didn't. Players hated him, too.
I know, but that's what I liked about Johnny.
Yeah. Well, Justin Leonard who was the guy who ripped it that just crucified at the Ryder Cup? And the players all got mad at him. I think it was, might have been Justin Leonard. I can't remember who it was, but Justin Leonard, one of the most boring guys ever, who's now on TV.
I was going to say, he's now one of the commentators.
He's brutal. He'd be good on BSN, Johnny was the greatest.
Hey, to your point last week, can we get these guys back on the bleeping road? The announcers?
Yes. I'm stupid. I don't want them to guess like me. Like
Dick is completely guessing in Texas.
A couple of times Dick admitted it. He says it looks like Dick's.
You have no idea.
No. What are they?
Just get them back
on the
road.
Who's saving the money? I mean, who's saving the money? Do the Twins let them fly with them?
I'm sure they expense meals and stuff, so it's expensive. I don't care.
Yeah,
guys have no clue what's going on. And Texas is an awful ballpark.
Plus, they haven't seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Dick and Perky, and neither of them have seen the damn thing. And Corey Atterbury was on with him today. But that's idiotic.
This is Ricey for EcoFun Motorsports. The preseason sale on all bikes, scooters, and ATVs is going on right now in Forest Lake. Beat the spring rush. And EcoFun will give you the free storage with your purchase until the weather is a bit more bike-friendly. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will even deliver to your front door in the metro area. Take advantage of the preseason sale prices right now. Bentelli bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest price of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Take a test ride and put biking back on your list of favorite outdoor activities. They also carry a full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's E-C-O-F-U-N Motorsports.com. And tell Tim you heard it on Ricey Unchained. What are we waiting for?
But, I mean, if you're vaccinated and
they got 40,000 people in the stadium surrounding the ball players, but you can't have two announcers. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it's a money saver.
Oh, I think it's all money right now. But that's my point. It's just end the charade.
Yeah. I mean, you want them to have some firsthand information that they can provide you.
Yes.
I mean, Provis does the Baldelli stuff. So he interviews him every day and he BSs with him before he does the show. But you're only getting one version of what the hell's going on. You know, if they're there, they can get more than one version of what's going on.
Yes.
Not just, you know, it's horrible for everybody. This idea that the clubhouse isn't open there's no reason for it not to be now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just get them back in a booth in the building so they can know stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They can tell you what's going on.
They can see the bullpens, you know?
Yeah. It is quite the charade, to say the least. So, big win for the Vegases last night. Montreal's going to be a tough out, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm shocked.
What's the deal? How did this occur?
Vegas has, I believe, 9 goals in this series so far.
They switched goalies.
So, Fleury on Friday, late in the game with Vegas up 2-1, I believe. made a brutal decision and tried to move the puck and ended up basically putting it on a platter for the Montreal guy to score to tie it, and then the Canadiens won in OT.
So you hooked the goalie.
So the coach said it had nothing to do with that, but that's nonsense. No. It definitely did. And they started Leonard last night, and he played great.
Yeah,
he was fantastic.
He hadn't played the whole postseason, right?
He had played game one against the Avs and got destroyed.
Oh, really?
But he was sort of the sacrificial lamb for that game.
Okay.
But so the Golden Knights have 9 goals. 7 of them are by defensemen. Pacioretty's not scoring. Marchessault's not scoring. Like, all of these guys that scored against the Wild aren't scoring.
Huh.
So it's the damnedest thing. I mean, that's 2 goals from forwards?
Really? So, but Montreal, what do they do well? They become a real defensive outfit.
They do a really good job of taking away.
How's our guy Eric playing?
He's actually playing well.
Which line's he on?
4th line, but it's good.
4th line.
Corey Perry, Eric Staal.
Really?
Armani, the guy that they got from the Jets a few years back. Armia.
Okay.
Jule Armia.
So, Corey Perry's got to be old.
Corey Perry's old, but he's a pain in the ass. But Staal has played well.
Mm-hmm.
I give him a lot of credit. He has adapted to that role really well.
But we're going back to Vegas now.
Yes.
And then do they go back to Montreal?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So it'll just play out like it ordinarily does. So 6 would be in Montreal, 7 would be back in Vegas.
And
it's but Carey Price has been marvelous too.
Is he really?
Oh, he's been great. Yeah. He's been fantastic.
And what's the other one we got going? I don't even, can't even remember.
Who Islanders.
Island. Oh, that's 2-2.
And Tampa Bay.
That's 2-2.
Two,
right?
Yep.
Two.
And that is a defensive series.
And that they're back in Tampa now, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's an old school. That's a coaching one. Jacques, I bet, loves
so this
that
is
one.
Not the Tampa team from 2 years ago where they tried to beat you 6-4, huh?
Nope. They got swept by the Blue Jackets, and they said, we're doing it wrong.
Which was weird because Louis did that a few times. He would get beat in the playoffs and then change the. Then we're going to go to a heavier team.
We were going
to
be the Oilers for a while. Yeah. Remember that one? We were going to be the big bad Islanders.
We were closer to the Oilers than we ever were, though, because they had some talented players.
Yeah.
But, you know, teams sometimes. Well, that happens over with Gopher hockey, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we, you know, they'd get in you'd have the best skating team in North America, and then. Somebody beat them, and we had to get bigger and tougher. And no, you just gotta have somebody not hit the post.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
right. Good
team.
Goaltending. Don't hit the post.
Yeah,
and
give yourself as many chances.
But
to
this
score
is
as you can.
That one in particular is Cooper versus Trotz, because they're going to game plan. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to game plan to basically shut the opposing team down. And Trotz is damn good. Barry Trotz is a hell of a coach.
Did the Caps fire the guy after?
No.
Who did I see got fired? Didn't somebody get fired one and done? Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. It's hard to keep track of coaches.
I was going to say, coaches in hockey are fired all the time. So.
But if you haven't had 3 different jobs in hockey, there's something wrong with you, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I guarantee you at some point in time, our guy Boods will be coming back.
Somewhere.
Don't you think?
Yeah, somebody will bring in the Boots.
Somebody will, yep.
I haven't seen much of Boots on TV. What is he on?
NHL Network.
He is, but what, like a backup?
Yeah, he's been in studio a few times.
I heard him.
I saw him a lot early
great.
In the playoffs. Oh,
I heard
he's very
one
good.
Night great. He was great.
He should probably do that for a career.
Yeah.
I think he's been doing something Sportsnet, too, in Canada.
Is he okay?
Yeah, so we don't obviously see that here. But yes, I think he's been Sportsnet
I'd like
stuff
to see
Canada.
Him more. Boots is great.
He's great on the mic.
You know what? I love Canadian TV. I go back to the Calgary Olympics, 88, right?
You and Chris Miller.
88, and the figure skating became this huge thing there because you had Debbie Thomas and my girlfriend Katarina Witt and Elizabeth Manley from Britain.
Uh-huh.
And then and the men you had Botana and the Canadian... Who was the Canadian? They had a superstar, Canada, so he was. And then the other guy from the U.S. was good, too. So it was, we were writing it a lot. But so you had all these columnists up there writing about it. And basically, like me, knew nothing about it, right? Except who did what. And,
right.
But they were all stealing their stuff from Dick Button. who was being heard in the U.S.
And we're not in Canada.
But I would watch Sportsnet because there was a TV in there. I'd go in there with the Canadian guys and watch Tyler Cranston or Taylor Cranston, their guy.
Yep.
Their, you know, their old skater who knew what was going on. So I stole all my stuff from somebody else, making it look far more original than the Dick Button stuff.
Okay. You know,
the Dick Button observations.
That's actually very savvy.
Very creative. Yeah. Who's, you know, who's going to know? But it was, you know, it was great. It was a lot of fun, and I got to figure out what was going on. But that was where you, back when they score, you could only, like, the six was perfect, right? But, yeah, six was perfect on the score sheet, 6-0.
Okay.
But, like, 5-2, 5-3, 5-4, 5-5, 5-6, 5-7, 5-8, 5-9, the placements, there was only one available at those placements. So if somebody came out there and skated, if Katarina came out and skated and they didn't think she was great, they gave her a 5-8 or a 5-7. Now, they wouldn't give it any sixes once in a very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
But if they gave Katarina 5-7, you knew they were saving room for Debbie Thomas and Elizabeth Manley to finish ahead of her.
Okay.
Now, if they go out there and skate like a drunken sailor, like Debbie Thomas did in the finals, and fell down more than, you know, was basically skating around on her rear end. She was JK.
Diving.
So then they end up putting her down. Then they find 5.5 or something to have. But they saved. This was back when they saved the placement spot. So you'd say,
oh, I didn't know.
They're saving that spot above you.
So it couldn't be a tie.
They were saving that spot above her for Debbie. Like, they gave her a 5-8. That meant Debbie. The 5-9 was there for Debbie. Well, Debbie went out and skated awful. And as I do when someone performs awful, I ripped the hell out of her, you know. But, yeah, it was her big chance. She choked, you know, and because she was leading going in. And she was a young African-American woman.
Yeah.
You know, very nice kid. But this was pre-email days, but there were numerous letters waiting for me when I returned from the performance.
Not happy with your assessment?
No, we were not prepared at that point to criticize vehemently women athletes. You know, it's still a little more precarious than it used to be, and than it is with men, but not quite as bad.
This is Ricey for the Canopy Group. As you set out to explore Minnesota this summer, think about this. There are 234 cities in Minnesota with populations over 2,500. The Canopy Group has clients in all but 7 of those. Why is this fact important? Because the Canopy Group's experience in all of these Minnesota cities gives them a unique edge in getting you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. Remember, the Canopy Group offers 15 insurance companies for a reason: to match your specific situation, including zip code, with the best insurance company for you. This is done every year because your situation may change. It is also true that the insurance company's appetites might change as well. This experience working throughout Minnesota provides thousands of Canopy Group clients the peace of mind knowing the Canopy Group is working for them. Please visit thecanopygroup.com.
Right.
But Debbie was like the big event of those Olympics. And they were horrible to cover because they still had the schedule of the 10-day Olympics, but they moved it up to 16 because they paid so much money. So there were days nothing was going on. Although the U.S. hockey team was great because every game was like 7-5. You know, they had Leach and they had.
Oh, that was a hell of a roster.
Great roster. Yeah, Dave Peterson was fighting with the media.
They had a fantastic roster.
But they played no defense.
Yep.
Eric Weinreich, was it? Was a defenseman?
Weinreich.
Yeah. He was great, too, but he would give up two goals. And, you know, he'd have two assists and give up three goals, and it was just...
It was a tough run.
It was just wild.
The Miracle on Ice, it was a tough run for a few Olympics there.
I've said this 100 times, but my favorite quote ever in a press box is I'm sitting next to Morgani. We're watching Sweden play Russia or something to see who's going to play next. And he says, you know what's wrong with this Swedish team? I said, no, what? He said, they have too damn many Swedes.
That was the old Don Cherry. These guys won't do anything. They won't fight. They got no passion.
No, right. They got... There's
oh,
too
the
many
old guard
Swedes.
Hated the
Swedes.
The European thing.
Because the Swedes came over here before...
Yeah.
Before the Finns, before the Russians.
Yeah.
The Swedes were like the first ones to come over and start taking jobs, right?
Yes.
And this was pre-Ulf Samuelson, who was a tough Swede, right?
Right. Yeah, this was... So who was the Wild... Or the Wild... The North Stars... Roland Eriksson, was he a Swede?
Goalie, though, wasn't he?
No. This guy was a forward, but I forget what country
he was
from.
What the hell?
Because he's...
No, the Swedish guy, we were bad-mouthing him because he wasn't tough enough. With the first Swedish guy.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember what Louis brought one over. Was it Louis? Yeah, Louis.
Yeah. Louis brought the... Do you remember the Russian he brought over, Helmut Balderas, who was like 62 years old? He had been a great Russian player years.
He wasn't a big guy.
We all thought, oh, Russian. Yeah. This guy could not play by then. Poor Louis.
Yeah, but...
You know what I did see referenced? I saw it referenced a couple days ago in relation to the Twins. I think it was Betsy wrote in the Pioneer Press. She referenced the term man games.
Really?
The baseball, she has man.
She's now baseball. Well, baseball cannot have man.
Baseball's got an injury website that must list man games lost.
Wow. Tears in Louis' eye. Gary Sargent was my favorite. Gary Sargent had back surgery. Great player.
Oh, God, yeah.
Great player. Bemidji.
Yeah.
Had back surgery. Didn't play for 2 years.
Yep.
You know, basically his career was done. Louis was still counting him in the man games. 82 more man games. Yay, hooray.
I was always told that one of the first things that Jack Ferrer did when he replaced Louis was he took the man game sheet and crumpled it up and said, we are never referencing these again.
Well, Herbie got very upset with Sonmore and Louis for not excusing him enough because of injuries. That they did not talk about man games enough. I don't know if he wanted the man games term and stuff, but they did not. They did not excuse that 51-point season.
God,
I think it was
team.
51, right?
That was an awful... Boy.
We thought Herbie...
Did they crater?
Oh, man. Yeah, I would think Herbie, when you stink, is not your coach. Herbie's not... Herbie would... I would have liked to have Herbie as the coach with these... fighting twinks for the first 2 months of the season on his Zoom calls.
You would not have been Rocco-esque.
His Zoom calls. By the way, all time, and you notified me just as I was about to tweet it, I think this was the worst Doc Rock ever. Maeda strikes a guy out. Did he strike him out?
Ground ball back
to Maeda. A little big hopper. He jumps up.
He had to jump for it.
Jumps up. By the way, he's a hell of a fielder, right?
Yeah.
And he throws it to first. And as he's off the mound, he kind of does like wrench, like you do when you get off the couch. You know, you kind of went like that. Wrenched his back. Here they come.
Yep.
Three of them.
Yep. Translator.
The trainer, Doc. Translator. Doc. The poor guy. And he's... Before they hit the chalk, he's going, no, they wouldn't be stopped. They would not be stopped. They were not.
Pat, this is the third time in the last month he did the same thing to Berríos and Duffy.
Yeah.
And Duffy did the same thing that Kenta did, which was he started laughing like, what the hell are you doing out here?
Leave me alone.
And I think Berríos tried to wave him off immediately.
I think it's even greater when they bring the translator with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the trainer.
They should come out in like an ambulance.
The trainer. That was with him is looking at Rocco like, what the hell are we doing here?
You know what we should have?
Yeah.
a siren, a red siren on top of Doc's head, on top of his ball cap that he can activate and come out there with a woo.
Yeah. God almighty. He had some injuries as a player. You know, he had the bad foot that ended up costing him his career, basically. But leave these poor SOBs alone, for God's sakes. Leave them alone. Make them come to you. Don't go around and ask permission for them to play. Make them come to you.
No, Doc can't help himself, Pat.
No, he can't. He can't.
He's got, that like, was... he needs a therapist to talk to him about his need to come out and take guys out. Did you see on the close play early in the game on Sunday where Buxton ran hard?
Yeah.
And he did like a little crow hop.
Little hop, yeah.
And he ran away from Tommy Watkins, the first base coach, so fast because he knew the Doc was going to get to Watkins.
Doc was on his way.
Yes.
If he turned around.
He didn't turn around. He just made a beeline for center field.
Oh, God, it's unbelievable. I heard from a source who shall go named that when I wrote the I think I broke out Dr. Baldelli at least 5 weeks ago. Didn't
yeah,
it?
You
five,
tried to do a blog in the paper, and the paper stuck it in as
yeah,
a column.
It became a column.
Yes.
I did the Doc Rock. I heard from a third-hand source that there was some chuckling in the higher-ups. That there's some thought, even with his superiors, that he's kind of nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Miami thing.
So what happened? I got to think he got a call on Buxton. Don't you?
Yes. Well,
play him.
I think you're right, but here's what I think.
I think the Texas doctor said, listen, there's nothing wrong with him.
Right. I also think the Buxton people probably called the Twins people and said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous now.
Yeah. They MRI'd him, and then apparently the Texas orthopede is like a big hitter, you know.
Okay.
And he looked at him and said, "Yes, you know, to play him, you know." So, yeah, it is. But if we thought having Buxton back cured the Doc, we found out Sunday it did not. The Doc is, you'd like him to be your kid's internist, though, wouldn't you? Except you'd spend all your time at the hot.
Doc would find things that don't need to be found.
Yes, he
there
would.
Might be a heart condition when he's 50.
Yeah,
should we do surgery now? We can correct that now.
Yeah, Doc Rock, man, he's something. He is something.
This year has really turned a corner in like seeing sort of the weird side of Baldelli. I think like we always knew he was a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now we're seeing more and more.
Yes.
I mean, he's literally bolting out of the dugout when a guy, moves.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Buxton literally ran to Buxton ran away.
Yeah.
Because he knew that if he retreated at all to the dugout, the Doc was going to come out.
I said the fact that he let Buxton play the day after he played the first game was a greater upset than the U.S. at Lake Placid. You know, I was shocked that Buxton played the next day.
I texted you, Teddy Ballgame, 1941, last game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have had the choice of playing.
No, we can't afford to let you lose the batting title.
Well, and you might be banged up.
Yeah, you might be.
Teddy might be banged up.
Yes.
You serve in World War II, you get shot down, but you know what? You might be banged up.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It is the damnedest thing I've ever seen. Somebody tweeted to me, and I actually retweeted it, said if you do this with your players so often, you turn them to glass. You know, they expect to be.
Yes.
You know, they all of a sudden start wondering if they're hurt or not, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure the Doc was ecstatic when Cruz struck out and said, my next little, you get out of here.
Yeah, right.
You get out of here right now.
Yeah.
Go to the clubhouse.
The only one we don't.
See you in 3 weeks.
The only one we don't worry about is Sano, right? I mean, they just figure out what the hell.
Run him out there.
Yeah. One, you know, people are still defending him, although he had another horrible weekend. But 179.
Yeah, I know.
It's indefensible.
Yes.
179. I don't care what he's doing. That you can tell me OPS and slugging percentage and anything you want to. 179.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, you know, I'd put him on waivers. I'd designate him. And then if somebody claims him, they can have him and take the contract. And if somebody doesn't, then you can send him to St. Paul and bring him back, you know. But
yeah,
it's there's nobody. If I'm the other team, you know, he might be in one of those two-day periods where he makes competitive at-bats, but most of the time there's nobody I'd rather have come to the plate with two on.
He's lost.
He's just lost.
He's got no approach.
Nope.
He hopes he walks, too. That's the thing is when he walks, he's hoping he walks. Well, he's not going up there with a
You know, the real disgrace is he's batting 100 in the 130s against lefties.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
I know.
That's impossible, but they throw him that little sinker in the front of the plate, and he's out here trying to hit it to left field instead of staying on it and hitting a rocket to center field. That mediocre fastball down,
yep.
He pulls off it on every at bat.
Yep.
Got, you know, I got to go to the hitting coach and say, hey, if you don't cure him in the next week, you're out of here. I'll try somebody else.
I thought he might have been fired already with the.
I'm going to hire Tatis Sr., who's supposed to be his guy that got him in shape. You know, but somebody, you know, it's brutal. Anyway, Cincinnati tonight, by the way, with the 1-2 hitters in the National League.
Really?
Winker and Castellanos have the two best batting averages.
Winker's turned himself into a hell of a ball player.
He is. He had three. So, anyway. All righty.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
We're hot, baby. The Twins are hot.
Yeah, we're back.
If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.